Building block number 9, determination. General William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army, says this: "While women weep as they do now, I'll fight. While little children go hungry as they do now, I'll fight. While men go to prison in and out as they do now, I'll fight. Where there is a drunkard left, while there is a poor lost girl on the streets, while there remains one dark soul without the light of God, I'll fight. I'll fight to the very end." One of the greatest movie quotes of all time is from the classic Mel Gibson film, The Patriot. America, striving to push open the escape of Great Britain's tyrannical jaws, is calling for ordinary men to join the ranks and fight. The recruiters come to the church where Reverend Oliver is pastor, and several of the men from the congregation stand up and agree to join the militia. The scene then shifts to Reverend Oliver mounting a horse along with those men. His congregation responds with distress over their pastor joining the war, but Oliver tells them confidently, quote, "A shepherd must tend his flock and at times fight off the wolves." This chapter is about the fight. Yet this chapter almost didn't make it into the book. Why? Because the workers of the wall wanted to give up, hang up their hammers, quit. They came inches away from abandoning their purpose and leaving their dream as an unwanted orphan. The work was too hard, the task too great. They were tired, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Harassment suffocated them. Discouragement plagued them. It would have been easier to go back to normalcy, comfort, captivity. And I don't blame them. They had mortgaged the farm on this so-called dream, and it wasn't paying off. The intensity and the hardship were more than they had bargained for. Perhaps God had meant for them to pursue rebuilding. Maybe He didn't. Have you been there? Are you there now? Do you know someone who is living in the previous paragraphs? Sadly, this philosophy has become commonplace among our generation of Christian. When things are going well, God is good. When difficulties ensue, it's time to give up. Battle plan. Thankfully, Nehemiah was cut from a different cloth. Quit wasn't in his vocabulary. He was a man possessed with seizing God's dream and seeing it come to fruition. He knew that what they faced were spiritual attacks, and spiritual attacks are best fought on our knees in prayer. Number one, determination to pray. Although we touched on Nehemiah's dedication to prayer in chapter 2 on dependence, we now see his reliance on prayer consistently fleshed out. Every time he faces difficulties, he prays. Not some religious mumbo-jumbo language either. It's raw, authentic, sometimes even vulgar. As you read his honest pleas, you catch a glimpse into this man who had a divine disturbance. He knew his mission came from God, and God was the only one who would see him through it to the end. Here are the times when Nehemiah prayed. Number one, when he heard the news of Jerusalem, he confessed the sins of the nation, reminded God of his covenant, and made a specific request. We see this in Nehemiah 1, 4-11. Number two, when he was having a conversation with the king, Nehemiah placed the results of the situation in God's hands, simply asking for favor in Nehemiah 2, 4. Number three, after being ridiculed and taunted, this former bartender decided to pray boldly for God to do what he wished with his enemies. And Nehemiah was honest and raw with his heavenly Father. We see this in Nehemiah 4, 4 and 5. Number four, when the threats and attacks started piling up, he remembered the Lord and made prayer not just his priority, but everyone else's priority. In Nehemiah 4, 9. Number five, he responded to the continual onslaught of threats. Nehemiah begged God to strengthen his hands for this great work. Nehemiah 6:9. Number six, after the wall was built, Nehemiah began to reflect back on the actions of his enemies and reminded God to punish them according to their deeds. Nehemiah 13:29. And number seven, as Nehemiah reflected on his own life and leadership, he continually asked the Lord for favor and blessing. We see this in Nehemiah 13, 14, 22, and 31. Sadly, praying like Nehemiah did is not our usual response, initially at least. We try to fix the bad situation ourselves. We tell everyone else about the situation except the only one who can do anything about it. Nehemiah shows us a better response. When you're tempted to give up, pray. When your back is against the wall, pray. When the enemy is attacking at an alarming rate, you pray. Pray when you feel like it and pray when you don't. Don't wait for inspiration. Inspiration is for amateurs. Pray continually. And knowing that backdrop for Nehemiah's determination to pray, you might think that he was too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. Well, quite the contrary. He was fiercely active. You don't resurrect an entire nation without being a man of action. But he was able to marry his faith and his deeds together in a way that put him on the short list for a guest appearance in the New Testament book of James, Faith and Deeds. What we see in the next section is stuff that would make Hollywood drool.